This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Pastor Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. In just a bit, we'll tell you how to get a DVD study kit of this series that's perfect for your individual study and also great to do with a small group of friends. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Work God Shaped You to Do.
Now, the Bible says it like this in Romans 12. Try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities. In other words, you don't over brag about it, but you don't undersell. Have a sane estimate of your capabilities, your shape, by the light of the faith that God has given to you. Now, one of the things you want to do is notice what you do differently from other people. Some of you, you plan parties differently than others. You may even wash dishes differently than others. You organize a project differently. What you do differently is a good marker for what you are shaped by God to do. You don't do it the way everybody else does it. That means you're shaped in a different way. Now, one of the things you're going to do during evaluate and examine is you need to look at your experiences. And you go back over time and you say, where was I successful and where was I not? Where was I fulfilled and where was I not? Where was I in my sweet spot? I mean, I knew that I was doing the right thing, that it excited me and I was fulfilled. Galatians 3:4 says this, did all of your experiences mean nothing at all? Surely it meant something. The problem with most people is they never go back and review what's happened in their life. All of the lessons for your life are there. You just haven't spent time looking at them. In every failure are the seeds of success if you learn from it. Now, if you don't learn from your failure, you don't get the seeds of success. But one of the important things for you to do with your life is to look at, where have I failed? Where have I failed? That's a good indication of what you're shaped to do and what you're not shaped to do. We held the first Orange County Business Forum for small businesses and entrepreneurs. This building was packed with businessmen from Orange County. It was a great, great day. And I brought in a bunch of my friends who are world-class entrepreneurs from across America, built many of the brands you've heard of. And several of them are now billionaires because of their entrepreneurship. One of the guys who I interviewed was Steve Case. And I said, Steve, talk to me about your failures. And he said, failures are often the secret to your success. If you learn from them, if you use them to motivate you and to see what am I good at, what am I not good at. He said, you know, I started a company in the 1980s. We were the first internet company in America to go public. The very first company to go public. And he said, we started off as working with games, and we were working with Atari and Commodore 64 and things like that. And he said, we made a partnership with Apple in the early days of the 80s. We made a partnership with Apple's, and we developed a thing to connect computers together called Apple Link. And we were the only company in Apple's history that allowed us to use their name as a part of the brand. He said, a couple years into that project, it was our biggest client. Apple pulled out. They decided we don't want anybody using our brand on their product. So he said they pulled out and we lost millions of dollars. And it was a huge, huge failure, a big hit. We thought the company's done for. We're in for it. We've just lost our biggest client. Sitting in a room talking about that, we came up with a new name for our company. We called it America Online. AOL. Hello. He's now a billionaire. Thank God for that failure. Thank God that Apple pulled out. And we would have never founded America Online if we hadn't done that. Years ago, I met a guy, a very old guy, and he told me how getting laid off was the absolute best thing that ever happened to him. He said, Rick, I was 40 years old and I had worked my entire life in a sawmill. I had no other skills, no other job training. I had a wife and kids, and I'm 40 years old. And one day, my supervisor comes in and says, it's an economic downturn, you're fired. No severance, no retirement, nothing. You're fired. You're out of here. He said, I was at a complete loss. I had no other skills. And I'd spent my entire life in a sawmill working. And he said this. He said, Rick, I felt like my whole world caved in that day, the day I was fired. When I went home, I told my wife what happened. She said, what are you going to do now? And I said, I guess I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do, become a builder. So I'm going to mortgage our home, and I'm going to go into the building business. This old guy told me, he said, you know, Rick, my first venture was the construction of two small motels. But within 5 years, I was a multimillionaire. The man I was talking to was a guy named Wallace Johnson, who founded Holiday Inns. Walter told me, he said, Rick, if today I could locate the man who fired me, I would kiss him. I would thank him for what he had done for me. At that time, I did not understand why I was fired. Only later could I see that it was God's unerring and wondrous plan to get me fired in order to get me into the career he was of his choosing. What I was shaped to do. Hello. Maybe that layoff was the greatest thing that ever happened to you. If you learn from your failures and you say, God, what have you shaped me to do and what do you want me to do with my life? First, I examine and I evaluate. Second step is this, experiment and test. That means you do more than talk. You just actually go out and try some things. You experiment. You got to get out and try stuff. You can't just say, oh, I'm always talking about my dream job and my dream opportunity and my dream business, but you never do anything about it. I have people all the time who are talking to me about their dream job. They may be even 60, 70 years old, and they've never done it. And they say, someday I'll, where is it? That South Pacific? I think that's the island the lost people were lost on. Someday I'll. Okay. People say, well, you know what? One of these days is none of these days. People tell me, well, Rick, I'm aiming to do this. When are you going to stop aiming and pull a trigger? You say, well, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. It's not coming in. You got to swim out to it. You got to swim out to it. You say, well, when I get around to it, then I'll do it. Have you ever seen around to it? I'm going to have these little circles made up and write the word T-U-I-T on it. And then you'll have a round to it. And we'll give everybody a round to it, and then you can do it because you have a round to it. I'm a poet, and I don't know it. But you need a round to it. And you're using all these excuses. You just need to get out and try something. Now, I know what most of you want. What you want is you want me as your pastor to give you a little questionnaire where you can check off the boxes that will tell you how God has shaped you. And then you'll know what's supposed to be your dream job, your dream career, your life work, your life mission. And you want a little questionnaire with evaluations and, you know, tests and exam and stuff like that. It doesn't exist. And even those that do exist don't work completely. Why? Because you have talents you don't even know you've got. And the reason you don't know you've got them is because you've never used them. And you could take all the tests in the world and it's that talent's not going to show up because you've never tried. So you don't know you're good at it. When I was a young man, I took one of these spiritual gift tests to find out what my spiritual gifts were. And at the end, when I took it, I found out that the only gift it said that I had was the gift of martyrdom. Oh, great. Martyrdom. You get to die for Jesus. That's great. Okay. I mean, that's the spiritual gift you only get to use one time in your life and it's over. I mean, and you only get to use it on the last day of your life. That's not a particular gift I'm interested in having. Now, I could have taken 100 tests and it would have never said, you're good at teaching. Why? Because I had never done it. And there are things you've never done, so you don't know you're good at it. Some of you don't know that before when I started ministry, before I was actually a teacher, I was actually a worship leader. Because I played instruments since I was a kid, played guitar, had garage bands in high school and in college, had long hair. I mean, I was a typical hippie and had a lot of fun playing music. And so when I really gave my life to Christ, we had a worship band and I traveled doing worship in a lot of different churches because I really have a heart for music. I love to hear music. I love to sing. The only problem is nobody loved listening to me. I was what you call one of those prison singers, always behind a few bars and never have the right key. You know, I told a guy one time, I said, my voice just needs to be cultivated. He said, plowed under. I couldn't carry a tune in a baggie. Now, by the way, just because you want to do something doesn't mean you're shaped for it. Does that make sense? There are a lot of things you'd like to do. You know, I'd love to be an NFL quarterback. Well, who wouldn't? But just because you like to do it, your shape is more than just the H. That's heart. What do I love to do? There are five things that make you, not one. So just because you have a desire to do it doesn't mean you're shaped to do it. But you examine and you experiment. And so in my early years, I went out and I tried that didn't work. And I tried that didn't work. And I tried that didn't work. And then I did this. When I got invited to speak a place, people go, hey, you're pretty good at that. You know, when you talk, people's lives get changed. And it was the affirmation of other people that led me that direction because, oh, okay. And sometimes life is like a pinball machine and you bounce here and you bounce here and you bounce here. When God has a will for your life, it's never a direct line. Now, you got to experiment. Notice what the Bible says here, Ecclesiastes 5:7. Dreaming all the time instead of working is foolishness. And there is ruin in a flood of empty words. He said, you got this dream job and you're always talking about it. Wah, 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 wah. And you're always talking about your dream job and your dream business and your dream idea, but you never do anything about it. He says, dreaming without working is foolishness. And he says, you know, there's ruin in a flood of words. Talking about your dream all the time, just talk, never do anything about it. He says, worthless. It's worthless. You got to experiment and you got to test. And by the way, I want to say something that Eric mentioned a little bit earlier. Forget about job titles. They're a waste of your time. You should care zero about titles. Zero. Because they're not going to matter in heaven. What's going to matter in heaven is, did you use your life in the job that you were shaped to do? And if you're not shaped to do it and you got a title, it means nothing. A title minus shape equals zero. What you want to be is a standout in whatever you're doing. Now, to get to where your ultimate life mission is often going to take time. I need to explain this to you as your pastor. 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul says this to young Timothy. Put these abilities, that's your shape, put these abilities to work. Don't just talk about them. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone may notice your improvement and progress. He's saying, whatever you're doing, throw yourself into it. Work with enthusiasm. Throw yourself into it so people notice your improvement. Be a standout. If you're mopping floors right now, you mop the best floors you can so that people will notice your improvement and stand out. That's how you get a promotion. You do the best at whatever you are in at that moment, and you will get promoted. Sometimes it takes a long time to get into your ultimate life work. God told Joseph, you're going to be a great leader. And God wired and equipped and shaped Joseph to be an enormously great leader. And one day he saved the greatest empire in existence at that time, the Egyptian Empire, and Israel, and all of the Middle East from famine for 7 years. But it took years for God to get Joseph ready for his ultimate life work. And during those years, Joseph spent some time in prison. He spent some time working for a baker. He spent some time being kidnapped. He spent another time being a manager of a household, and another time being a servant and a slave. And all that time, God was working on him. You see, while you're working on the dream, your dream, God is working on you. And that's why it takes time, because God is more interested in your character than in your career, because you're not taking your career to heaven, but you are taking your character, who you are. So more important than what you do is what you become in the meantime. So God's path to your ultimate life work is never a straight line. It doesn't go from A to B. It goes from A to Z, then back to C, and then over to Q, and then to P, and then to N, and then back to B. God bless the broken road. That's how God does that. He does it, why? Because God is working on you. And during that time that you're getting positioned for your ultimate life work, you work on your character, and God will work on your career. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever you do, whatever work you do, do your best. You may be working at a Taco Bell. You may be working, I don't care, it doesn't matter where you are. Whether you're a beautician or a CEO or a truck driver, you work at it your best. You, whatever work you do your best. People will notice your progress. They will notice your improvement. And you've got to step up that way. Now, here's the third thing you do. I evaluate and examine, and then I experiment and test. Can't just talk about it. I got to go out and try things. And don't call it a failure. Call it an experiment. I tried that. It didn't work. I tried that. It didn't work. I tried that. Fine. That's the only way you know what you're good at. This third step, and this is the hardest one of all, step out in faith. You got to step out in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, this last week on the patio, I was talking to a couple after the service where I did the purpose of work. If you missed that message, you need to go back and listen to it. And the guy came up and said, man, Pastor Rick, I really needed that message today. And his wife said, he really needed that message today. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I've been in the wrong job for 10 years and I was afraid to step out. And for 10 years, my wife has been saying to me, honey, you're in the wrong job. But it was making good money and it was safe and secure. And my wife kept saying, honey, it's real obvious you're in the wrong job. You're not fulfilled. You're frustrated. You need to do something different. We'll figure this out. And he said, after tonight's message, today's message, he said, we're going for it. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to make the leap of faith. At some point, you may have to take a leap of faith. Now, a number of years ago, a guy named Robert Kriegel wrote a book where he said, all of us are always operating in one of three zones. He calls it the P zone, the D zone, and the C zone. The P zone is the panic zone. And you're operating in the panic zone when you're out of your depth, when you're in a job that you're not shaped to do, when you don't have the talent, the spiritual gift, the heart, ability, personality, experiences, when you don't have that, it's enormous stress on you. You know you're not up to par, and you're in a panic because you're not shaped to do that job. If I were to ask you to preach next week all six services, most of you would be in the panic zone because you weren't shaped to speak to thousands of people. And it would just freak you out. The opposite extreme of the panic zone is at the other end of the spectrum. That's the D zone, or the drone zone. The drone zone is when you're bored by your job because it's not using all your talents. You're an eight-cylinder person and it's only using one cylinder. It's monotonous, it's boring, it's routine. You could do it with your eyes closed. There's no challenge to it and you're bored to tears and you're in the drone zone. My job as your pastor, as your spiritual leader, your spiritual shepherd, is to get you in the C zone, which is the confidence zone. In the confidence zone, you're wired to do what you're doing, but there's enough challenge to keep you going. You need a little stress to stretch you, but it's not overstressing. It's challenging, but you've got the confidence and you go, I'm good at this. I am good. It's what God wired me to be. And I know how to do it, and I'm competent to do it, and I'm confident to do it. Now, there is no guarantee on this earth that you're going to succeed at anything. There's no guarantee. But God has made a promise. It's the last verse on your outline. Commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. Notice, commit your work. Commit your work. Commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. Have you done that? Have you committed your work to the Lord? So, God, I want to be what you made me to be, what you shaped me. I want to do what you want me to do, not what I think I ought to do or what's going to make the most money. I want to be who you made me to be. Commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. Let's bow our heads. Father, I know that there are many people here who've never accepted themselves because they've never accepted the way you shape them, emotionally, physically, spiritually, racially, or whatever. And because they've rejected themselves, it's caused them to not trust you. Help us to realize that you intentionally make us the way we are, even with flaws which create our uniqueness. Just like flawed genes that are intentionally flawed, in order to make them unique. You wanted each of us to be an original. Help us to trust you with our shape. Now you pray. Say, Jesus Christ, today I commit my work completely to you. I commit my work, my job, my career, my vocation. I commit my work completely to you. Jesus, I commit my life completely to you. I commit my future completely to you. I commit my income completely to you. And I commit my relationships completely to you so that you might bless them and they might succeed. Jesus, come into my life and be the manager of every area of my life. Help me to discover my shape, to develop my shape, and to use the way you shape me for your glory. In your name I pray, amen.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody, and why don't you tell me? Write to me, Rick@PastorRick.com. Just email me, Rick@PastorRick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Do you want to earn more than just a living? You can, because God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. That's why Pastor Rick put together a study kit called Christians in the Workplace. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Did you know that even your job matters to God? Your work matters for eternity. Did you know that? The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, that means whatever job you've got right now, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. You see, God gave you a special calling to your work, and He placed you around certain people so you can minister to them right there where you work. Now, whether your work is paid or volunteer, whether you work in an office or at a job site or in your home with your kids, God has planned this work to be a ministry for you through the work you do. That's why I want to help you discover how God is at work in your work. So I put together a study kit for you. It's called Christians in the Workplace. Now, I believe this study will energize you. It'll equip you for your ministry at your work. This Christians in the Workplace study kit includes a 6-session study guide and a DVD that I actually developed with Professor Paul Schreier. He's a professor at Azusa Pacific University, Christian University, and these sessions also include helpful interviews from real people who are living out their faith at work. I know it's going to help you and encourage you. Now, throughout this study, Christians in the Workplace, you're going to learn how God calls and equips you to do your work and why your work is a ministry. And I'll teach you to see your work as an opportunity for spiritual growth and how to develop moral and ethical character to guide you at your work. Plus, I'm going to show you how to find opportunities to share your faith, how to be a witness at work. I want to send you this Christians in the Workplace study kit to say thanks to you for supporting Daily Hope financially. Anytime you give a financial gift to support this ministry this month. Now, let me tell you how to use this kit. You're going to get the most out of it if you invite a few friends over and you do this study together as a small group. Yes, you'll benefit from individual study, but you'll get more out of it if you include more people. By the way, you know we are a listener-supported ministry, and your financial gifts make it possible for me to teach people around the world about the hope that we have in Christ. Let me just say thank you to you for your regular, faithful gifts.
Go to PastorRick.com to get yours, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with 2 R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.